As we continue talking about road rules, and this morning the title of the message is Detours. Detours, as we look at road rules along the way of life, and it's very important that we know Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of things that can get in the way of coming to Jesus throughout this life, and that's kind of what we're talking about through road rules. They're very evangelistic messages, and you may say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. Well, praise God for that. I'm glad you're saved. I want us to be excited about being saved and be willing to share the testimony of grace that God's given us, to share our story with other people, to encourage your heart. And also, if you're here and you're not saved or you're really not sure, we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to meet Jesus and make Him Lord and Savior of your life. And so one verse this morning is all we're going to look at. We'll break it down into different parts as we go along. And that's very uncommon. If you're used to my preaching, many times there are many, many, many scriptures, and I like to fill sermons with scriptures. But this is a simple message about a simple thing that has the most profound impact of all eternity, and that's salvation in Jesus Christ. And so there's a song called Life is a Highway, and you may have heard it in different contexts. First time I ever heard it was on a movie called Cars, okay? But, you know, life really is a highway. It's a highway that eventually ends. It only goes so far. It goes to the end of life, and then it ends, and then there's one of two places that we end up. So, you know, most everybody hopes that their highway ends in heaven. That's what most people want. Most people, if you ask them and if they're honest, they don't want to go to hell. They want to know that they're going to heaven. But we've learned that there's a roadblock in the way on that highway, and that roadblock is sin. And so unless you find a way around that roadblock, you're never going to make it to what should be our final destination. It's a driver's worst nightmare. When you're traveling, or especially if you're working or on business, you're trying to get somewhere in a timely manner, and along the highway, all of a sudden you're stuck. Traffic comes to a complete stop. The interstate turns into a parking lot. Everybody's sitting there, and there seems that there's no way around you. There's nothing but chrome and pavement. As far as the eye can see, you've hit the classic roadblock. Many of us have been in it. If you've ever been to Atlanta, you've been in plenty. Okay. Time is of the essence, though. You know, you get into to time of the time is ticking by, and you've got to move, and you have to get to the destination, and you've got to get there quickly. There's no exit anywhere in sight. I remember sitting in Atlanta for 4 hours one time around Atlanta, before I finally got to an exit where I could go hours out of my way just so I was moving. Okay. Well, sometimes we come up on those roadblocks and it seems like there's no end in sight to it. You have no hope unless you can find a detour. If I can find a detour, I'd rather be moving an hour out of my way than to be sitting still for an hour, 30 minutes. Okay, that's just me. Maybe you're different, but I don't like sitting in a parking lot in the middle of the interstate. We need a detour. Some way around it, some way to get to our destination. And there can be a real problem with detours. It can take you, you know, if you take the wrong detour, or if you take a detour that puts you in an unfamiliar area, you could be worse off than when you were stuck in traffic. So you have to make sure the detour is correct even in that. And so as we face this roadblock called sin, there's a detour that appeals to the vast majority of the human race, and it seems to be the logical way to get around this roadblock, and that's a detour called religion, or a detour called good works, or a detour called give it your best, or the detour called doing good things. And the detour could be called any number of things that we try to take to earn our way to heaven, but they all amount to the same thing. Trying to work your way around that roadblock. That's what people are trying to do ultimately. And the key takeaway, if you have notes in front of you this morning, is that there's only one problem with taking a detour. Any detour around the roadblock of sin leads to death. That's the big problem with all of these other detours. Many of them have great intentions. Many of them even great works that do great things for many people, and they're very honorable. But the fact of the matter is, they won't get you to heaven. They won't get you past the detour, the roadblock, rather, of sin. That's what we're told here in Romans 6:23 this morning. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So part of the mission of every Christ follower is to share their faith, share our story. And if we think about it that way, we're sharing our story. We're sharing our life story. We're sharing our heart. People say, I don't know how to witness. I just don't know how to talk to somebody about the Lord. Share your story. Tell them what God's done for you, how He's transformed your life, what He's doing in your life now. Just share who you are in Christ. And then opportunities begin to open up as discussions open up about all the things God's doing in your life. And then you're able to share. You want to know why I've been blessed this way? You want to know why I can have peace in the middle of this storm? You want to know why I can deal with things that other people seem as though they can't? It's because I have a Savior who one day removed the roadblock of sin in my life. And because of His precious blood, I have a home in heaven. And I just want to take people with me along the way. Would you join me on the highway to heaven? Amen. Would you join me on the way home in this journey? Sharing our story is so important. That can lead people to see the love of God. Simply putting in your hands a tool. Share the concept. You can use this concept of a road to share your story. God wants the road of life to lead to heaven. But there's a roadblock to heaven. And God called it sin. If that roadblock is somehow navigated, then a relationship with God is possible. If it's navigated any other way than Jesus, a relationship with God is impossible. So people are tempted to think all kinds of ways around the roadblock. By self-effort, by religion, by good works. The second part of sharing our story is showing them from God's Word and through our own life why that's not only possible, but it is completely unnecessary for you to try to do anything to get yourself to heaven. This verse reveals to us two things this morning we're going to look at. Number one, salvation is not a goal you can achieve. It's not a goal you can achieve. There's a roadblock between the human race and God called sin, and sin is a problem that carries with it a penalty. Sin has a penalty. Sin carries a price tag. It gives a paycheck, and that paycheck is death. That's what we're told in God's Word. The first part of this verse, look at it again. For the wages of sin is death. That's the wage. So if you want any proof that we're all sinners, Just take a look around in life and realize that we all die. We die because of sin. Sin tainted our bloodline, and now we don't have everlasting life in this body. Now my soul and spirit is saved by the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to live forever, but this body will die. Why is that? Because of sin. We live in a world that is tainted by sin. And so the picture is painted here of a paycheck you earn by working. That word wages was used for the daily food ration that was given to Roman soldiers for their service. At the end of every day, a Roman soldier would be given a ration of food as part of his payment for the service he had done that day as a soldier. Wages are what you earn. Wages are earned. It's simply getting what you deserve. That's what a wage is. So because we're all sinners and because sin only pays in death, that means no matter how much good you do in this life, no matter how many churches you go to, no matter how religious you try to be, no matter what good deeds that you do, you're going to wind up earning death. So understand that death in the Bible means more than just the physical body ceasing to breathe. Okay, death is separation from God. The wage of sin, what I earn and deserve because of my sin, is death, separation. There's a spiritual death where the soul is separated from God. If you go back to Genesis, you'll find that God told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of the fruit He told them not to eat of, you will die. Guess what? They ate of the fruit. They didn't die physically at that moment, but they died spiritually immediately, and they started dying physically. They were immediately separated in their relationship with God. The perfection that God had created them in a sinless state ended. They are now separated because of sin. The day they ate that, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They're cut off from God. By the way, they lived for hundreds of years past this, but ultimately they did physically die as well. It's kind of like if you think of it as a flower, you can cut the flower off of a stem and hold the flower in your hand, and it still looks really good, but really it's dead already. It's just a matter of time. That's how life is because of sin. We are born into this world, and we have an appointment with death. What happens at death is the difference between whether my soul is saved and sealed by the blood of Jesus or whether my soul is lost and I've chosen my own path rather than God's path. Salvation is not a goal you can achieve. Cut off from God, the soul will wither and die. Every person in this world is born physically alive, but already spiritually dead. Dead because of sin, spiritually. So that explains how sweet little babies, who are so innocent and precious, can grow up to be murderers and terrorists and homicide bombers, use vulgar language and give drugs to children, and still go to sleep at night with seemingly no guilt at all. Because sin brings spiritual death. It also brings physical death. Eventually, as I mentioned, Adam and Eve did die. The proof that they were dead spiritually is the fact that they died physically. And to put it another way, your birth certificate is also your death certificate. One day, your soul will be separated from your body. If the sin problem isn't taken care of, eventually it leads to eternal death, which is where the spirit is separated from God for all eternity. The horrors of hell are bad enough, but the fact that you can never, ever, ever be reunited with God, His love, His blessing, His care. And listen, God doesn't do this. He gave us a free gift. It is ours for the taking. But we have to choose to receive it. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Spiritual death can be reversed by a relationship with Jesus Christ through His blood. Physical death will be reversed one day by resurrection. This body one day, if Jesus doesn't come before I die, this body will cease to function, and to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But then one day when the trumpet sounds, this body will rise, a glorified new body, amen? But this body will rise, a new body will rise at the resurrection. Physically, death is reversed because of the resurrection of Jesus. Spiritually, we have no death once we know Christ. Are you saved this morning? Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is He in your life? Do you know that you know that you belong to Him and you're a child of God? If so, you will never die. Never. If you are not, you will die both physically and spiritually and be eternally separated from God. So as we share our story, we need to share with everyone that we're not, that we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. And we all have this same problem. And there's only one way out of it. Because the only thing that we'll ever earn on our own is death. Number two this morning is salvation is a gift you receive. As we continue in this verse this morning, the next part says, but the gift of God is eternal life. We get to the good news. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So sin brings eternal death. And if sin brings eternal death, the only solution to sin must be eternal life. So just as the two key concepts before were the wages, and the wages of our death, those were the concepts, wages and death. The two key concepts here are gift and eternal life. There is a gift that is free to all. So that means that you don't become part of God's family by doing anything. You can't get around the roadblock of sin by finding your own detour, your own way around, your own philosophy, your own religion, your own ideals. You know, you can jump on a four-wheeler and you can go off-road mudding and you can try to go through the woods by creating your own detour and try to do it your own way. But eventually, many times that leads to crashing and burning, okay? But if you stay on the path, you're a lot less likely to have that issue. But every human detour leads to death. Every single human detour around the wages of sin leads to death. The good news is, once again, eternal life is not a goal you can achieve. It is a gift you receive. Eternal life. You can't describe the difference that is greater between a wage and a gift. You know, sin pays wages. The wages of that sin is death, which is exactly what we deserve. On the other hand, God gives a free gift, which is eternal life, and we don't deserve it. You hear that? Wages are something we earn and we deserve. A gift is something that God has given that we don't deserve. It's by His grace. So I can't put it a whole lot more simply than this. If you want what you deserve, eternal death, God will give you that as the wages that you earn for trying to live a good life. But that'll never pay for your sin. If you want what you don't deserve, eternal life, God will give it to you, but as a free gift. There's nothing you must do for it but receive it. There's one other thing to add about eternal life, or what we call salvation. That's that salvation is grace given. It is given by grace. By grace, through faith, are we saved. So if you read this verse carefully, you'll realize that there's one thing that is constant against another thing. On one hand, you've got wages. On the other hand, you have a gift. On one hand, you have sin. On the other hand, you have God. On one hand, you have death. On the other hand, you have eternal life. See how much there is in this one little verse? And then a phrase is added at the end of this verse. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So why did Paul throw that in there? By the way, I've seen translations that leave this part right here out. It's very important. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the only way. He's the only door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So why did Paul throw that in there? Because you need to understand that salvation, eternal life, is a free gift of God. However, remember, no gift is truly free, is it? Well, it may be free to us. But if you get a birthday gift or a Christmas gift or congratulations gift, or somebody just gives you a gift because they think you're cool, it cost somebody something, didn't it? Somebody had to go and purchase the gift to then give it to you freely. The gift is free, but it had a great price. A great, great price. God bought that gift with the precious blood of Jesus. He bought your eternal life, Jesus did, with His physical and spiritual death. The Bible makes it very plain. Sin killed Jesus just like sin kills you and me. He didn't die for His sins. He died for our sins. When we die, we get what we deserve. When Jesus died, He got what He didn't deserve. He took what He didn't deserve, spiritual and physical death, where He was separated from God. Physically, He died in His flesh. Spiritually, He was cut off from God in that moment when He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our sin had cut Him off from the Father. Not His, ours. He took what He did not deserve to give us what we don't deserve. Eternal life, to never ever be separated from God. There's two things you can do with a gift. If it's the right kind of gift. First, you can accept it, receive it, right? The second thing you can do is pass it on. There's eternal life is something that is meant to be shared. It is meant to be passed on. It is meant to be paid forward by sharing our story with others. It's the gift that keeps on giving if we'll keep on sharing. God doesn't give us eternal life so that we can just enjoy it to get to heaven and forget about everyone else around us. He gives it to us, and then He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Somebody has to go, so I'm sending you to be my mouth and my hands and my feet to the world to spread the good news of what Jesus did, to offer the free gift to all. It's to give to others. It's not just for us. One of the ways you do that is by finding people who've gotten off on the wrong detour and let them know that that detour only leads to death. But if they receive the free gift of God, they can have eternal life. So now you see how we can take something very, very simple. A simple example, like a road. We can share our story of how there's a roadblock that stands between us and heaven. There's a highway of life. There's a road we're traveling. And it ends in one of two places. You're going to come up on that roadblock, and when you do, you can receive the free gift of God that moves the roadblock out of the way, that makes you a child of God and gives you a home in heaven. Or you can try to go around it in any number of ways that you can imagine. And you can even do a lot of good things with your life and have a lot of great accomplishments. But eventually you've got to pay the wage for your sin. And that payment's death. But there's a gift. There's a gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we are grateful this morning that we can know for sure that we're saved and on our way to heaven. We're thankful that, Lord, for many of us in this room, we've come up against that roadblock at some point in our life, and we received the free gift of Jesus that set us free, that opened up the pathway to you and a relationship with you. Thank you for the shed blood of your Son. And Father, I do pray this morning in these moments, if there's anyone in this room that has not given their heart and life to Jesus, they're not certain that they're saved. I pray, Father, that they would give their heart and life to you today and be set free, that that roadblock of sin and all the detours that they've been on would all come to an end at the foot of the cross. So, Father, we ask for you to move and to work in our midst this morning, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.